cause a lot of political consternation. And then you have 2024. And if the 2024 is not the cleanest election we've ever had, then there's nothing good that is going to happen in the 2024 election. There's nothing good that will come from the 24 election. If it's highly contested, if it's won by some technicality because of mail-in voters, or the state Supreme Court says, you know, like the hanging Chad incident in Florida, the state Supreme Court says, yep, this state's electoral votes go to Republican or Democrat candidate. If it hinges on one state, pardon my French, I think all hell's going to break loose if that's what happens in the 2024 election. That's not necessarily my base case scenario, but that is the likelihood is substantial. And so that, you know, that's, unfortunately, 2024 is likely to be an accelerator and potentially trigger of low intensity conflict. I'll get to a couple of questions here. Last one or two questions. Is there a wise political path that the United States could take today to minimize and manage our global downfall? Accept what is coming, but grab the reins to manage, and how fast? This was the argument for Obama, that Obama was going to manage the decline of the United States. And that, you know, that kind of outlook took a 180 when Trump was elected. I think a lot of people in the Trump administration said, look, we don't have to accept this as inevitable. They said, make America great again. And now we have Biden, who much less credibly says America is back. America is the only thing back about America is we are back to the managed decline portion of maybe poorly managed decline of the U.S. empire. All right, we'll do one other question here. So if it is low intensity conflict, can you speak to the importance of community, a mutual assurance, a mutual assistance group, and soft power? So low intensity conflict occurs below the threshold of conventional war. So we're not talking about tanks and bombers and fighter jets and troops shooting at each other out in the streets, but it exists above routine peaceful competition. Low intensity conflict are things like terrorism campaigns, guerrilla movements, insurgency, popular revolutions, violent social movements. There may be one or two others in there. And I think that characterizes, that's my baseline expectation for domestic conflict in the United States, like secessionist movements, breakaway separatist movements, things like that. I think that will end up happening this decade. And it was probably going to gain much more popularity in 2024, I think, as well. After, you know, 24 into 25, we're going to see a lot of this stuff come roaring right back. The importance of community is, you know, you have to build. What wins in a low intensity conflict is not your force projection. It's not your ability to use violence. Okay. Violence alone. I can't think of any scenario where violence alone won a low intensity conflict. And in many cases, like in Algeria, in Indochina, in Vietnam, you have the losing side. The losing side had the most force projection. And yet all three of those conflicts were still lost by the quote unquote most powerful militarily side. What wins in a low intensity conflict is your ability to project political, social, and economic power. Legitimacy, especially in insurgency, it is a fight over legitimacy. Which side has the legitimate claim on authority? And authority being the du jour, the legal authority. And the only way you can establish authority is if you have the popular support of the people. And you don't win popular support through violence. You win popular support through political credibility, through social credibility, and through your ability to deploy economic power and improve people's lives. By maybe that's job creation. Maybe that's ensuring the ability to trade, building opportunity for commerce, ensuring that capitalism at its most basic level, that we're able to trade value for value. You ensure those things. And so when you look at a community, it's just a microcosm of the nation. You have to have economic transactions. You need some kind of political system to mitigate disputes or to resolve disputes. Otherwise, you're just going to have people shooting at each other for dispute resolution. And so I think for initially that has to be your local system of government and your county government, and one level above that, your state government. That goes back to your county sheriff. It's political legitimacy. These people are already politically legitimate because they have, in most cases, probably won some level of free and fair elections in most places, definitely not all places. Then you have to develop social power, and you have to rally people behind your proposed solutions, which should not be violent. You have to rally people behind your political solution. You have to rally people behind your part. A lot of this goes back to political legitimacy and credibility. But one reason to build a local network is to build that legitimacy and credibility. So social power can be built through humanitarian projects and charity. I mean, Meals on Wheels, food drives, Toys for Tots. You have to go do those things, and you have to publicize, right? I mean, you look at civil affairs, like in U.S. Army Special Operations, you know, that's civil affairs does that. That's a part of unconventional warfare is delivering, building projects that will help take care of people. That is what builds you legitimacy and credibility. And that, you know, that's one way you build social power. And then economic power. This comes down to capitalism. You have to run a profitable business. You have to produce something of value that will be in demand. And what you do with those profits should not go to enrich yourself. You should not be using, if you want to build legitimacy and credibility, you know, you probably should not be buying Bentleys and, you know, buying these mansions with a swimming pool and living so far above everyone else's means that you are, you know, that is not going to build you credibility. What will build you credibility is using those profits in these businesses and putting that back into the community. And I'm not talking about socialism. I'm talking about voluntary choice. Hey, this company made $20,000 in profit, and yeah, we're going to make sure we take care of our people. Maybe we're going to hire another part-time person to work. Maybe we're going to say, hey, we're going to build a community park, or we're going to take this money and we're going to fix some potholes in the streets. I don't know. You look at a lot of these movements, and the way they gain power is by doing what the government should be doing, but is not doing. And, you know, that to me is economic power. When you can build that, when you can use your economic power to support social power and to continue to build political power, then, you know, then you're doing the right thing. If you're building this power, political, social, and economic power that you can deploy in the future to avoid conflict or to solve conflict before it starts, like armed conflict, that is how you get through the collapse of the American empire. That's how you build a first world zone in a third world country. And it's going to take a lot more than that, but I think that's how you prepare. And that's, you know, that's the importance of community, the importance of mutual assistance group. I run a multi-county preparedness network, and we share information and we share tips. And we have once a month, we have a speaker come in and talk about raising rabbits, building a pantry, active shooter considerations, last winter we did cold weather injury prevention and treatment, two different Saturdays. And we're just trying to attract as many people from the community to come in and learn about very valuable skills and learn valuable knowledge and just let people know, hey, we're here. We exist. We exist because we're going to go through you thought 2020 was bad. Just wait, we're going to go through much worse than 2020 in the future. And we are here as a resource, and we want you a member of our network. Please, if you see something, say something. Okay, share information about what you see in the community. As an intel guy, that's very important to me. Every member of our network is a sensor. I'm very limited in what I can see and hear and experience. And now all of a sudden, I've got all these sensors in the community who can pass up information. And so whether you want to call that a mutual, that's not exactly a mutual assistance group, but yeah, you should be building your intelligence network in order to deal with these things that we are going to experience. We already have been experiencing. So, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and add an hour and a half here. Call that a briefing. Everyone, hey, have a really great weekend. Take some of the stuff I've been talking about last few minutes and think about what that looks like in your own area. And we will be back in your inbox on Monday morning back on this show, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time for the Daily Essay, immediately followed by the Highside Briefing. And with that, everyone, till next time, be well and stay out front.